actually decided that church is important enough to where they're willing to come back a second time to hear your word preached, dear God. And Father, I just pray that you would use this service in the heart of everyone that's here, dear God, and please help us to learn some great truth from the Bible, something that would help us to be in church 20 years from now, something that would help us to be a productive soul winner for many years to come, dear God. Help us to grow and take our Christianity to new heights, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now tonight's sermon picks up a little bit where this morning's sermon left off. I started to talk a little bit at the end of this morning's sermon about memorizing the Bible. And I talked about some of the benefits of memorizing the Bible. I talked about the fact that the Bible says in both Psalm 1 and Joshua 1:8 that if you memorize the Word of God, if the Word of God does not depart out of your mouth, if you meditate on these things day and night, as the Bible says, that whatsoever you do shall prosper. I mean, that's a pretty big promise. Stop and think about that for a little while. How would you like to, and I'm not talking about money, I'm not talking about you're going to drive up in a Pontiac, you know, that's all decked out with leather seats and a sunroof and it's got the P at the end for extra power. That's all I'm talking about, that kind of prosperity, okay? I'm talking about a spiritual prosperity. How would you like to go through life where everything you do prospers? How would you like to raise kids and prosper doing that, be successful raising kids? The word success is used one time in the Bible. And it's in Joshua 1:8 when he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous." He says, "Then shalt thou have good success." I mean, how would you like to be successful in your marriage? How would you like to be a successful soul winner? How would you like to be successful in whatever you put your hand to doing? How would you like to end up life as a success? Okay, that's a great promise. It's a pretty broad promise too, if you'll meditate in the Word of God day and night, as it says in Psalm 1. But number two, we also heard that in John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Well, that's a pretty big promise too. How would you like to say, "God, here's what I want you to do, and God will do it for you"? That's a pretty big deal. He says, well, there's a way to do that. Abide in me and let my words abide in you. And then number three we talked about this morning. This is a quick review of this morning in case you weren't here. But number three, we saw that being filled with the Word of God is equivalent to being filled with the Spirit. Talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not what the sermon was about this morning. The sermon was about the verbal inspiration of God's Word. But that's where I ended up on that note of an application, if you remember. But number four, look if you would at Matthew chapter 4 in your Bible. The first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Chapter number 4, and we'll see the fourth reason to memorize the Bible. Just getting right into the sermon here. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. My wife knows what that noise was. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible reads, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And in verse number 4, the Bible reads, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now the Bible says, of course, famous verse, Psalm 119:11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now here Jesus is putting that into practice, where he's confronted with temptation from none other than the devil himself. And when he's confronted with being tempted by the devil, what does he rely upon? He relies upon the Word of God that he has committed to memory, where the devil comes to him and points out a certain temptation, and he answered and said, "It is written." How did he know that? Because he had it memorized. He had memorized it from the written Old Testament scriptures. He said, "It's written, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Read on a little further. In verse number 5, the Bible reads, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You see, all three times, three different temptations, three different angles that the devil is coming at Jesus every single time. He's combating it with the Word of God that he has committed to his memory. That's why David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now, if you have a sin that you're dealing with, we all do. We're all sinners. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. They're all gone out of the way. The Bible says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And if you're honest, you know that just like I do, you sin every single day. I'll guarantee you that not a day goes by that you don't sin. Now, how are you going to combat the sin? Are you even trying? I mean, God willing, I hope that you're trying to combat some of these sins in your life. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, for example, if you're dealing with a certain sin, you could memorize a verse from the Bible that has to do with that sin and quote it to yourself when you're tempted to sin. For example, let's say you're having trouble controlling your eyes. Let's say you're having, you know, maybe this is more for men, but you're driving down the road, there's all the filthy billboards that are up. You walk into the gas station, you're trying to pay for your gas, and there's a whole big row of filthy magazines just before the service, 10 minutes before the service. I walked up to buy something at the gas station, and what did I see but just a row of filthy magazines, and I had to avert my eyes immediately. I didn't want to be sucked into staring at the world's garbage. I didn't want to look at the temptation that the devil had before me of all the filthy pornography that's out on these aisles in the gas station, in the grocery store. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, it's pornography. Yes, it's ungodly. Yes, it's wicked as hell. Well, what did I do? I walked in the gas station. I was thinking about my sermon, too. I walked in. They had this row of filthy magazines. I quoted Psalm 101. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And so I quoted that verse. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, and I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And when I quoted that verse, boy, looking at the magazine isn't appealing at all when you quote that verse, because the spirit kicks in and says, man, I want to live for God. I hate ungodliness. I want to be righteous and holy and clean and pure and good and godly. And so that's how I was able to overcome that temptation. Maybe you're timid and shy about soul winning. Maybe there's people that you know that you should be preaching the gospel to at work, you know, friends, family, co-workers, and you know you're supposed to give them the gospel, but you find yourself just timid, shy, afraid. Well, you could quote a verse like this. How about Ephesians 6:19? And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Or maybe a verse like Mark 16:15, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And on, you could memorize several verses about soul winning for boldness. Maybe you're trying to quit some kind of a sin. Maybe you're trying to quit something like, say, smoking. That doesn't affect anybody in here, I know that. But let's say you're trying to quit smoking. How about this one? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, you could quote that kind of a verse if you're trying to quit smoking. You know, if you wanted to quit drinking alcohol, you could say, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. A verse that I learned, that was one of the first verses I memorized, actually, when I was 4 years old. And so learning verses that have to do with your particular sin can help you to overcome sin. That's another great benefit of memorizing the Word of God. All of us are dealing with something at any given time that we're trying to excel in, that we're trying to get out of our life, or something that we're trying to get into our life. Hey, use the Word of God to strengthen you. You'll find yourself finding the sin not so appealing when you quote the Word of God, and God's Word will cut to your heart, and you'll say, you know, I can do this. I can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But if you're not relying on memorized Bible, then you're trying to do it in the flesh is what it is, and that's why sometimes it's more difficult. And so try this, and this can help you. But I want to talk to you tonight about some memorization techniques that I use and that I've learned from people and so forth. Now, those are the four good reasons to maybe get your attention, to make you think about, well, you know, maybe I should be memorizing the Bible, and we'll get to more later. Maybe this is something that I should be working on. But I'm going to tell you something, and let me be a little bit personal a little bit tonight maybe and tell some things about my life. I'm going to tell you something. Memorizing the Bible is the driving force behind Steven Anderson. I mean that. I mean, that's the thing that keeps me going. There are ups and downs in life, aren't there? There are ups and downs in my business. There are ups and downs in this church. You know, there are ups and downs in my personal life. Obviously, everybody goes through ups and downs. There's no temptation that's taken you, but such as is common to man. And we all have bad things happen. We all get in a rut, so to speak. And I'm going to tell you something. If I had to pick the one thing that's the driving force with me, the one thing that keeps me going, the one thing that's my passion, my greatest passion in life, is memorizing the Bible, honestly. And I mean, maybe I don't preach about it all the time, but I preach about, you know, I try to preach the whole Bible. I try not to sound like a broken record. You know, I try to preach different things and a variety of things to give you the balanced diet of what you need to grow as a Christian. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the big thing for me. I mean that. Now, soul winning is vital. Soul winning is everything. I mean, every week I'm out giving the gospel to people. I'm soul winning. I try to give the gospel to people I know. And that's important. That's something that I do because the Bible commands me to do it. And that's the main reason why we're even here on this earth as Christians. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the thing that I spend more time on than anything. This is the thing that I spend the most time and energy on, is memorizing the Bible. Now, let me tell you this. Let me tell you how I got started memorizing the Bible. When I was 16 years old, I went to a summer camp. And this was a totally liberal summer camp. This was the NIV. I mean, every service was started with rock music. I mean, it was like heavy metal rock music. I'm not exaggerating at all. I mean, it was the lights were flashing and stuff. These were the church services at this camp. And the last, it was called Hume Lake. And so my dad actually went there as a kid too, back when it was a little bit different. You know, oh yeah, that's where I went, son. You know, it's not the same anymore, Dad. But anyway, I went there, and it was like Baptist week when I went there, so they toned it down a little bit. But it was still just, you know, just this heavy metal, hard rock music. You wouldn't even believe it, okay? Everything was the NIV. Everything was wrong. But one good thing I got out of this camp, I was 16 years old, and they had a chapter in the Bible that the week was emphasizing, and it was Philippians chapter 3 was what was being emphasized. And we would memorize different verses from this throughout the week, one verse a night while we were there. Well, there was a special prize for your team if people on your team would memorize the entire chapter of Philippians chapter 3 just during this week of camp, then we got more points for our team or what have you. And so there were two other kids and myself decided, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to memorize the entire chapter of Philippians chapter. Now, they were all doing it in the NIV, okay? But I refused to do it in the NIV. You know, I said, no, I'm doing the King James Bible, okay? And I didn't really know why, but I just knew that the King James Bible is right and this other one is dumb. Okay, I'll put it that way. And so I remember everyone in the cabin, you know, because everybody had to learn a few verses and a few of us were trying to memorize the entire chapter. Well, everybody's saying it in the NIV and it was messing me up, you know, it was confusing me because they're saying it a little bit different. And so I remember just going outside the cabin, just sitting outside by myself, outside the cabin with my Bible, learning Philippians 3 by memory. And by the end of the week, I had memorized Philippians chapter 3. That was the first chapter that I ever memorized in the Bible when I was 16. Besides, I think I learned Psalm 23 as a little kid, you know, just a little short chapter. But this was the first substantial chapter that I learned. Well, on the way home, I was on the bus, and I was so excited about it. And I thought, boy, this wasn't really that hard. I mean, it took me all week, and I was working at it and working at it. But I thought, you know, it's really not as hard as I would have thought it would be to memorize a whole chapter. I mean, I thought it'd be almost impossible. And so I sat down and I said, you know what, I'm going to learn Philippians chapter 4. And so on the bus ride home, I sat and worked on it. I learned about half of it on the bus ride home. I learned about half of Philippians chapter 4. But I got home and I just kind of forgot about it and quit working on it. And I got to the point where I had forgotten both of them, both Philippians 3 and the half of 4 that I learned. Well, about a year went by. And a year later, I really picked up this thing for studying foreign languages. And so I started learning all kinds of foreign languages. It was a hobby that I had, and I really wanted to travel around and see the world. You know, I wanted to go to South America. I really wanted to go to Europe, and I wanted to travel around. And so I started learning these languages, and I developed a system. I worked at a pizza place called Round Table Pizza. And so it's a really good pizza place. I wish they'd open up in Phoenix. It's really good. They don't have it in Arizona, unfortunately. But anyway, I developed this system where I had 3x5 cards in my pocket, and I would just write a word on there, just one word in a foreign language. just a noun or a verb or whatever. And I'd put the word on one side, and I'd put the, you know, the Spanish on one side, the English on the other side, the German on one side, the English on the other side, whatever. And I'd have those in my pocket. And while I made pizzas at Round Table Pizza, every 5 minutes I would pull out that card and just read that one word, and I would just say that one word over and over again and just chant it like 500 times. And then 5 minutes later, I'd pull out the next card, and I figured out that I could learn 50 words a day. Because if I just spent 10 minutes chanting them over and over again, times six, you know, so that's six words an hour, and then six times 8 hour day at the pizza place, that's 48 words. And so I was able to learn a couple of different foreign languages really fast, just by memorizing the words, and then I'd get home and study the grammar, but I already had all the words memorized. I mean, how hard is it to learn a language when you already know every word memorized? And so I started doing that for a while. Well, I planned this trip when I graduated from high school. I was 17 and a half years old, and I started college right away, just at community college. I did that for one semester. And at the end of that semester, I was turning 18. Now, my mom wouldn't let me go anywhere until I was 18, okay? So I said, Mom, I'm turning 18. Now I can do whatever I want. I said, I'm going to go to Germany by myself, you know, on this trip. And she didn't like that idea at all, of course. But I said, I'm going to do this. You know, this is something that I want to do. I want to travel around. I want to see the world. And so I planned this trip to Germany, and I did it to where I was going to go there and stay with some different pastors and things and do something spiritual, you know, while I was there. But I went there, and it was 2 months before I was going there. I got out of that semester of community college, and I figured, you know, I'm going to work two jobs for these 2 months until I leave to Germany so I can make some money, so I can have some spending money, because I was going to be there for 3 months. And so I got a job working for an amusement park called Funderland, okay? And it was these little kiddie roller coasters going around and everything like that. Well, this was my job, literally, at Funderland. I stood at the gate, and I opened the gate, you know, let the little kids come through and get on the ride. I closed the gate, and then there were two buttons. There's a green button and a red button. You can probably guess what the green one did and what the red one did, okay? So I pushed the green button, and then I'd look at my watch, you know, and 2 minutes later, 120 seconds later, I'd push the red button, and then I'd let the kids off the ride, and then I'd let, you know, and repeat as often as necessary for 8 hours solid. Okay, so it's a very tedious, monotonous, boring job. Okay. So I decided, well, I'm going to start learning German. You know, I want to master German in these 2 months so that when I go there, I'm going to be able to speak German when I get there. But then I thought about it, and for some reason I was thinking about it, and I said, you know what? I don't want to sit and learn German. I said, you know what, I want to give God the preeminence. And so I said, instead of learning German, I'm going to try memorizing the Bible. And this is the first time I'd ever messed with it since I was 16 on that camping trip. And I said, I'm going to spend these 2 months, instead of learning German, I'm going to memorize the Bible, because I'd read this verse in John 15 where he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And I read that verse, and I said, you know what? I'm going to spend 2 months memorizing the Bible. And then when I get to Germany, I'm just going to pray and say, God, help me to learn this fast while I'm here. And so that's what I did. I didn't learn German at all for those 2 months. I decided, and I knew a little bit from college and everything, but I just said, you know what? I'm just going to memorize the Bible. And so I stood there all day, and I took these note cards, and instead of writing just one word in German on there, I wrote verses from the Bible on these note cards, and I'd write about three on one card. I had a card, and it disappeared on me. I was trying to have an illustration here, but here, I can use this card. And I would just write about maybe three verses on the card, and I'd have a big stack of them, and I'd put it in my pocket. And what I would do, right after I pushed the green button, I'd pull out the card, okay? And I'd study, and I'd just get one little phrase, and remember, I'd learned that just chanting one word is really easy. So I'd pull it out and just maybe chant about five words of the verse. Like, let's say I was going to learn this verse, you know, Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. I would just quote it like this, but he answered and said, but he answered and said, literally that much, just, but he answered and said, 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 just while I'm just standing around, but he answered and said, it is written, but he answered and said, it is written. It is written, man shall not live, it is written, man shall not live, it is written, man shall not live, man shall live by bread alone, man shall not live by bread alone, bread, you know, just on and on. I wouldn't move that fast, obviously. I'd say it hundreds of times before I moved on to the next part. And I'd just say them and say them and say them. Well, in the course of that time doing that, I learned, these are the chapters I learned. I learned the book of Habakkuk, which is three chapters long. And I learned the book of Joel, which is three chapters long. And then I was still, you know, really liked the foreign languages, so I learned the book of 2 John in Spanish. and then I learned Psalm 11 in German, 1 John 1 in Romanian, and then I went back and I refreshed chapter 3 of Philippians, and then I finished chapter 4, and then I just kind of got into chapter 1. But here's where I went wrong. So I learned a total of 11 chapters, you know, during that two-month period. And by the way, my little sister Lisa, you remember Lisa? She was here a few months ago. I don't know if you got a chance to meet my little sister Lisa. She saw me doing this one day. And I was learning 2 John in Spanish that day. And it's really short. It's only 13 verses. And so I was going to do it in one morning because I had about 4 hours. And I said, I'm just going to learn this. And my little sister saw me doing it. And you know what? She learned it with me. She learned it in English. And she learned it the same morning I learned it. It only took her 3 or 4 hours either. And so it's not that I'm some kind of a prodigy. I mean, this is something that anybody can do. If you just chant things over and over, it's not really that hard. But here's the problem. I left for Germany. You know, I flew out to Germany right when I turned 18 years old. And I got there, and I just got so bored with quoting the same 11 chapters every day, okay? Because I didn't really know how to retain them, except I just have to say these every single day. And so every day I just said the same 11 chapters every day. Well, a couple weeks into my trip, I mean, I'm having fun, I'm busy, and so I just say, you know, I just do not have the discipline to quote these again. You know, I can't do this anymore. And so I just went about my business. About a month and a half later, I said, boy, I need to tune those things up. You know, I need to say those. And, you know, a month and a half later, I couldn't say any of them. All 11 of them were gone. Okay? And it was depressing to me because then I tried to relearn them. But you have no idea how frustrating it is to try to relearn something that you used to know. Because you don't have the excitement of doing something new. You know, and it's not really that exciting to finish it because you've already done it. And so it was just so depressing to me that I just pretty much just threw in the towel and said, you know what? Forget it. And I didn't even memorize the Bible again. That was when I was 18. I started when I was 17, and then I turned 18 right before I went to Germany. And so that's when I pretty much just forgot those 11 chapters completely. Well, all the way from then until 5 years later, when I was 23 years old, 5 years later, I didn't work on any memorizing at all, really. And 5 years later, when I was 23 years old, because it was in April of 2005. Yes, I'm only 25 years old. Okay. Yes, I'm a little kid. No. I'm 25 years old, but I'm married with 4 kids. All right, give me a break. And so when I was 23, which is 5 years later, I don't even remember why, but I was having my wife look up something for me on the internet. And she stumbled across this website. She's the one who found it. I don't even remember what she was looking for. But she was just surfing the internet about something, and she found this website that said, you can memorize the New Testament in 5 years. And she told me about it. I said, there's no way. I mean, that's insane. That's impossible. And I sat down and started reading it, you know, and it just intrigued me. It got my attention. And I started reading it and reading it. I said, you know what? This would work. I mean, this makes sense. And I figured out that the reason that I failed the first time is because I was trying to say the chapters every day. And you cannot keep that up forever. I mean, to quote the same chapter of the Bible every day for years, I mean, we're talking about 700 times, 700 days in a row, you're going to have the discipline to quote the same chapter from the Bible. I mean, maybe you have that kind of character, but I don't have that kind of discipline, that kind of mental training to do that, because it's going to get old after a while. And I mean, I'm not trying to say that the Bible is not always new and exciting, but to say the same chapter every day, it gets boring. I mean, let's face it. And so I read this, and it explained a system, and this is what I want to tell you about quickly. It explained a system where once you learn a chapter of the Bible, and by the way, I recommend you learning by the chapter. And I know that's hard to learn an entire chapter, but even if you want to pick a short chapter, you know, learning chapters will help you remember it a lot better than learning verses. Well, I read on this chart that said that if you memorize a chapter in the Bible, and you quote it every day for 1 week, like once you really know it well, once you got it down. Like, and for example, Psalm 15. Who's got Psalm 15 memorized? Raise your hand. All right, you better have it because I took you out to eat last night. And so, otherwise, you owe me some money. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's a joke. But anyway, Psalm 15, you got Psalm 15 memorized, right? Do you want to just let Psalm 15 slip away and forget it? No, you want to keep it memorized. You've already done all that work. Think about how much work it was to learn it. It's not going to take very much work to retain it. But it'll take a lot of work if a month and a half from now you say, you know, I think I want to learn that again. It's going to take a lot of work, okay? It's a lot easier to keep it in your mind and never lose it. So here's what you do. Once you have it down to where you can say it fairly quickly, you know it very well, you don't really have to stop and think that much, you quote it every day for 1 week. So from here until next Sunday, just quote it every single day, one time. I mean, how long is it going to take to quote Psalm 15? It's probably going to take you about 25 seconds. Is that about right? I mean, it's about 5 verses long. You probably quote it in about 25 seconds. Well, then after next Sunday, you just quote it once a week for a month. Okay? So then you quoted it every day until next Sunday. Well, then after that, you just quote it once a week 4 or 5 times, you know, for 4 or 5 weeks, for about a month. Then once you quote it every week for a month, you quote it every month for the rest of your life. Now, quoting it once a month for 25 seconds, that's pretty easy. And you'll remember that chapter. And not only that, but you'll get better and better at it month after month. I mean, month after, even though you've gone a whole month without saying it, you will get sharper and sharper at it. I mean, chapters that I've known for years that I quote only once a month, I can quote them better now than I could when I first learned them. And so that's how you do it. And really, quoting it for 25 seconds a month, you don't need any character at all. I mean, just even if you don't do it on the exact right day, you could just, you know, because you got to pick a day and say, this is the day I quote it every month. But even if you're a few days early, a few days late, hey, I think, hey, you know what, I got 25 seconds. I think I'm going to quote this. Okay, how hard is that, right? Pretty easy. So when I read this, boy, I was excited. This is why I was 23. I was so excited because it was a goal that was reachable where I could really learn a lot and not have to quote it every single day because that's so tedious and I just didn't have the strength to do that. And so, you know, I jumped right into it. Now, I was in Bible college. And flip over, if you would, to Psalm 119 in your Bible, right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 119. Verse number 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Now, I was in Bible college when my wife stumbled across that. And so I had a lot of spare time on my hands. Because and you say, what? Spare time? You know, it's Bible college, busy schedule. You're working full-time or school. Yeah, but you know what? When I was in Bible college, sometimes it was a little bit boring. Okay, I'll be honest with you. And just sitting in class, and there's a lot of dead time in classes where maybe the teacher's working with somebody else, or you're waiting, you finish the test early, or everybody's passing in their work, or blah, blah, blah. There's all this dead time. You know what it's like to be in school. In school, there's all this wasted, boring time. By the way, I homeschool my kids. You know how long it takes us to homeschool our kids? Every less than 2 hours. You send them to school, it's like 8 hours, and they learn less. And so there's just a lot of wasted time at any school that you go to, whether it be a Bible college or a school or what have you. So I had all this time. So this was going to be a piece of cake. Okay, read, if you would, Psalm 119, verse 97. The Bible reads, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now ask yourself this question. Who is writing that verse right there? Well, it's King David is the one that God is using to speak that verse. Do you think that he was a busy man? I mean, he was the king of Israel. I mean, he was running a whole nation. He was also directing their military at this time. He was the general. He was the king. He was an important man. But he said, you know what? Throughout the day, I'm meditating on the Bible, is what he said. Throughout the day, I'm learning the Bible. Look at the next verse. The Bible says, "Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." Now, David was a man who memorized and thought about the Word of God all day long, he said. And we'll see more verses where he talks about that. So here I am in Bible college. What did I do? Well, I had my note cards. Every day I bought a big stack of 3x5 cards to school. And while I was in school, throughout the day, while the teacher was talking, you know, I had my Bible out and I was copying down verses onto my note cards, getting ready for what I was going to memorize that night while I was at work, working second shift, you know, about a shift of maybe 2 to 10 o'clock or 2:30 to 11 o'clock, whatever I worked that day. And so I was writing down the verses that I was going to be learning that night. And while I was writing them down, they're kind of getting in my mind a little bit too as I'm copying them down. And then while I was at school also, while I was between classes, walking from one class to the next, while I had a little dead time, I would quote back the chapters that I was supposed to quote back that day. And so during this time, you would not believe this, I literally learned 5 chapters every week. Okay? I don't even know how I did it. Like, I couldn't even do it right now. But just sitting in school for 5 hours a day, I found a way to do it. I've never been able to do it since. Okay? But when I was there in school, I would do this. And I would learn about 20 verses a day. And it added up to about 5 chapters a week. And so I sat there just writing out the cards while I was there. And then at night, as I was at the job, I'd do the same thing. I'm working on the fire alarm. I'm turning the screwdriver. Every 5 minutes, approximately, I'd pull out my card. You know, I'm walking from point A to point B. I'd pull out the card. And I would just get a new phrase. Just one little phrase. You know, but he answered and said, it is written. 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 You know, on and on. And I would quote that for 5, 10 minutes. And then when I had a spare second, I'd pull it out, you know. Man shall not live by bread alone. 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 Then I'd do that for 8 hours. When I got done with that, I'd get in the car, and I'd drive home. And while I was driving home, I'd already said every phrase in that chapter 300 times. And so then I would try to put the whole chapter together on my way home, on the drive home. Because I'd already had the pieces, and so it wasn't really that hard to put the whole thing together on the drive home. And then the next day I'm back in school, and I would quote what I needed to quote daily, what I needed to quote weekly, what I needed to quote monthly, and what have you. Well, now I'm a lot busier, okay, so I'm not able to do it at that rate anymore, because I don't have any part of my day where I'm sitting down in a room being forced to sit still for 5 hours. And so now here's what I do. I don't even have time. I don't even write out the cards anymore. I have a Bible software program called eSword. Who's ever heard of that before? You got it, right? If you don't have it, you should get it. And talk to me after the service and I'll tell you about it. But you download it for free. And what I do now is I just print out a page like this. It takes me a couple minutes. And I just print out a chapter like this. And now I just keep this in my back pocket while I'm working or in my tool belt. Or, sometimes if I don't even have time to print this out, I got my pocket New Testament. And by the way, if you don't have a pocket New Testament, take one of these for free after the service. They're yours. Grab one. Just make sure nobody's looking. Look both ways and then grab one and shove it in your purse. No, these are for you, of course, to take as many as you want. And I'm telling you, I just pull this out. I mean, if I don't even have time to print this, I just pull this out while I'm working. And think, you say, well, I don't have time. You don't understand my life. It's so busy. It's so hard. I'm telling you, you have so much dead time in the day that you don't even realize that you have. I mean that. I mean, and you know what? Sometimes I don't have my New Testament with me. And sometimes I don't have this with me. And I'm not memorizing the Bible. I just find myself thinking about stupid things. You know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? And I just, when I don't do this, you know, I'm just, some stupid song will pop into my head that I heard, you know, at the last job site. Somebody was playing the radio. You know, some stupid TV show that I watched 10 years ago or something will pop into my head. Just dumb things will come into my mind. Hey, I'd rather spend that time meditating on God's Word. And I mean, I find myself throughout the week in line at the post office, in line at the DMV, standing at the gas pump, pumping gas, waiting for the manager at a job I pull up somewhere. I'm waiting for somebody. I'm waiting for this person. I'm waiting for that person. I'm in the shower. I'm brushing my teeth. I'm shaving. I mean, there's so much time when your mind is just floating around doing nothing. And boy, if you could get this at your hand all the time, if you could have this in your mind all the time, you'll find yourself just quoting a chapter of the Bible. Hey, I've got a couple minutes. I think I'll quote a chapter of the Bible that I know. Or hey, I've got a couple minutes. I'm going to pull this out and learn some new verses. I'm telling you, you will learn so much Bible. And I'll tell you this right now. The people that I've looked up to throughout my life, heroes of mine, preachers and great spiritual men, they would get up in the morning, very early in the morning, and they would read the Bible for 2 hours every day, or read the Bible for 1 hour every day. Now, that takes a lot of character. That's hard to do. But I'm going to tell you something. If you do what I'm talking about tonight, if you meditate in the Word of God day and night, as David did, you will read the Bible more than 2 hours a day equivalent. I mean, think about it. You could quote the Bible. You could learn your verses for 4 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. There's no way anybody in this room is going to sit down and read the Bible, you know, for 6 or 7 hours every day consistently. But this is a way you could know. That's why David said, look down at your Bible in Psalm 119. Look what he says in verse number 99. Look what he says. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep and keep there. It's talking about retaining the Word of God, remembering it. Because I keep thy precepts. He said, I have learned more Bible, what David is saying, than the people who taught me the Word of God. He says, I know more Bible than the old ancient man knows the Bible. Because he said, I discovered that not just reading the Bible for 15 minutes when I wake up in the morning, not just before I go to bed reading the Bible for 15, 20 minutes, he said, I've learned to meditate on God's Word throughout the day, day and night, having God's Word ever with me, as it says in verse number 98. You see, there's a secret that David discovered of meditating on the Word of God throughout the day that allowed him to learn more Bible, that allowed him to be more wise, that allowed him to understand more, that allowed him to get more done, because he'd learned this great secret from the Bible. Now, Psalm 19:7, don't turn there, but this is what the Bible says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, I have my children memorize the Bible, because the Bible says that that it will make wise the simple. And if you're here this morning, this sermon will make more sense to you also, because you know the power and the value of God's Word that we talked about this morning. But see, these kids, yes, they're homeschooled. You know, yes, we teach them the science and the math and the English and the history and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. 10,000 times more important, the most important thing that these kids do is memorize the Bible. And if we have to sacrifice the history or the English or the math one day, that will be sacrificed. But learning the Bible verse is never sacrificed. And these kids come out smarter studying the Bible, because the Bible's wisdom is so much better than man's wisdom. Any history book, any science book, any math. This will give you understanding. This will make you a wise person. This will make wise the simple. My son Solomon, let me tell you this. Right about the same time, this is actually before I discovered this, I did an experiment with my son Solomon when he was 2 years old. Just a couple years ago. This is about the time experimenting on your son. He's like a guinea pig. Okay, a couple years ago, my son Solomon, he just turned 2 years old. Here's what I did. I read to him, just to try this out, just to see what would happen. I read to him the book of Jonah, four very short chapters. Book of Jonah, I read him the book of Jonah every night for about 2 or 3 months. Okay? So I read it like 90 times. Okay? And every once in a while I would talk to him and explain to him what some of the words meant, some of the more difficult vocabulary words. But the story of Jonah seemed like a pretty understandable story even for a 2-year-old. And so I read to him the book of Jonah in its entirety. And boy, sometimes I did not feel like reading the book of Jonah again. Okay? But I read it to him every night just to try this out. And you know what? He almost had the book of Jonah memorized at the end of the time. He's 2 years old. Just from listening to it. He wasn't even trying. But I just read it to him every night. Every night. And about 3 months later, what I started doing was I would leave out words and he would fill in the blanks. I would just leave out a word and he would fill in the word. And I'd leave out different words every night and he could fill in any word. And I don't know if he could have quoted it verbatim because he was so young I couldn't even tell him, okay, you know, say it to me. You know, he's just, oh, well, well, you know, because he's 2 years old, right? But this is something that anybody can do. I mean, it's something that even a tiny little child can learn. Later on, I taught him 2 Timothy chapter 2, which has 28 verses. This is when he was about 3 years old, I think 3 and a half. And I told him I was going to buy him a soldier outfit if he learned it. Okay, so I taught him this, and he learned it. He memorized it. My wife taught him a lot of it. And he learned when he was 3, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I took him down and bought him, you know, the camouflage, the army helmet, you know, the fake machine gun, and so, you know, the boots. I got him the whole decked out thing. And then he learned Romans chapter 10 after that. Now he's learning the book of Ecclesiastes, you probably know that, and he's almost done with chapter 9, which is over 180 consecutive verses. And he's 77% of the way to getting his swing set in the backyard when he finishes the book of Ecclesiastes. See, this is something that anybody can do. I mean, it's not, even a little kid can do it. I mean, a 5-year-old boy has more Bible memorized than probably the typical preacher, probably the typical Bible scholar, probably some guy with a bunch of letters after his name, M.A., B.A., B.S., you know, M.D., and yes, I did emphasize those two letters, but, you know, all these stupid degrees that he has behind his name. Hey, my son probably has more wisdom than he does because he's got 10 chapters of the Bible memorized. That's better than some degree on your name on the wall somewhere. And I'm going to tell you something. Memorizing the Bible will give you more understanding. My son here, I venture to say, and if you say, oh, he's a prodigy, he's a child prodigy. He's not a prodigy at all. You know what? He just learns the Bible. Because my other son, Isaac, he's got a few chapters under his belt. My younger son, John's got a few chapters under his belt. Because these kids, when they learn the Bible, it gives them intelligence. Tell the public school that we don't need smaller class sizes and more computers and more chemistry labs. We need the book that you kicked out in 1947. That's what would bring up the SAT scores. That's why the scores have gone down the toilet. Hey, that's why there's gangs and shootings and violence and a police officer walking up and down the playground with an orange vest on. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. It's the book that you kicked out in 1947. That's why you're turning out a generation of idiots, because you kicked out the Holy Bible. That's why. This is the textbook that I will rear my children with. This is the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7, 8, 9, and 10 textbook that I'll rear my children with, because this is God's Word. This is from the mouth of God. This is the Holy Bible. This is the wisdom of the ages right here. But turn, are you still in Psalm 119? I think I still have you there. Let's finish up this little section here where it says in Psalm 119, let me find my place here. Verse number 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How would you like God to teach you the Bible? How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Let me read these other verses to you. Psalm 63:6. You don't have to turn there. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, David said, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I will meditate in thy precepts, talking about the Bible, and have respect unto thy ways. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Let the proud be ashamed. I'm reading several different verses. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Listen to this. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. He said, I'm memorizing and reading the Bible so much that my eyes are falling asleep. I'm so tired, but I want to stay up and just read one more verse from the Bible. You see, I don't know what that's like. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, get into this thing of the Bible, and you'll find yourself wanting to stay up a little more just to read one more chapter, just to memorize one more verse. And then the verse that we started out with tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He said, here's the advice that I'd give to you, Timothy. Just give yourself completely to studying the Bible. Meditate on these things day and night. Give yourself wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, wholly to the study of God's Word. He said, your profiting will appear to all. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I wish that I could get you to understand how important this is. And I wish I could get you to understand that this is what will keep you in church year after year. This is what will help you to understand the Bible so that when some false prophet and some false teacher and some charlatan comes along, you'll be able to say, that's not true because it is written. Fill in the blank. Whatever you've learned. And so back to the story, I learned this method, you know, when I was 23 years old, memorizing the Bible. And, you know, the first few months, you know, you start out with kind of a jump start. You're excited about something. And I had all that dead time just sitting around in college, boring my brains out. And so I sat there and I learned the Bible and I memorized a lot. But, you know, I came to a point after doing that for a couple of months. You know, I was learning like 5 chapters a week. Okay. So I got to where I'd learned about 50 chapters and I was just learning like too many. And so I just kind of hit a wall where my mind just fried. I just couldn't keep it up anymore. What I was trying to call back, everything. And so I lost a lot of the chapters that I'd learned. You know, I forgot a lot of them, and it was frustrating. But because I had this method, I thought, you know what, I can get back into this. I can keep this going. And so I went back and relearned and got caught up. And I did it again. I got up to about 80. You know, and again, I kind of hit a wall where I lost a lot of them, and I had to go back and learn more. And it's a little bit frustrating, but I realized to just limit myself to about, you know, one or two chapters a week was about the max that I wanted to learn. Because if I learned more than that, it just got too much. You know, your mind is only capable of so much, I guess. And so I got to where I would just do one or two chapters a week, and that's where I'm at right now. You know, I do about one to two chapters a week, and I work on, you know, refreshing the ones that I know and keep going back and learning them and learning them and learning them. And my goal is to memorize the entire New Testament. And I'm one-third done. And my goal after that is to memorize the entire Bible, which I believe is possible. With God, all things are possible. And even just humanly speaking, it's very possible to do that. Now, you say, well, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if I'm ready to do this. Well, look, start small. Start with something small. You've already done Psalm 15. Pick something that you already maybe know a little bit. Maybe Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, things like that that you know. Pick something small and learn it. And whatever you do, just don't forget what you've already learned. And you can just keep learning more and learning more and learning more and learning more. I'm going to tell you something. It'll revolutionize your understanding of the Bible. I mean, it'll give you insight into things that you've never seen before. You'll learn more than you ever thought possible from the Bible. I mean, it's something that will revolutionize your study of the Bible, I'll tell you right now. It'll keep your mind occupied. It'll get some of the junk out of your mind, you know, from a sinful past. You know, we've all done things in our past that we don't like to think about. Hey, just so clean out your mind and fill it with the things of God. Fill it with something good and productive and right to be doing with your time. And so I would encourage you to just start small with it, maybe. But just get some cards, write down some verses, pick a small chapter, pick a small book of the Bible, and just try it. Just put it in your pocket, and just whenever you have a dead time, whenever you have a few seconds, just pull it out and just begin to go over it a little bit. And you'll see that you have dead time like that all the time. You'll find yourself all throughout the day learning, and you'll be able to take it to new heights, and you'll learn more Bible than you ever thought possible. I'm telling you, this will change your life if you would get into this. I mean, it'll revolutionize your life, and I mean that. And I mean, this is something that I wish, I literally wish I could just spend, you know, my whole life on it, you know. I get so busy at my work sometimes, I can't spend as much time on it as I want to, or as sometimes I used to be able to. But I find a way to just make time to do it because it's so important. And so I hope, you know, tonight's sermon was not a typical sermon for me. Usually my sermons are all just Bible. You know, I told a lot of stories, a little bit of myself and how I came to these things and learned about these things. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason that I did that is because I want you to just decide that tonight, right now, that you're going to work on this and try and do this. And, you know, do it at your own level. You know, I'm not saying, I mean, it took me years of working up to it. You know, first I learned a couple chapters. I failed, you know. I got back into it. I learned 11 and I failed, you know. And now I'm learning more and I'm going to fail. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully I don't fail this time. But anyway, hey, start out with something and learn it. And there's nobody in this room that couldn't learn a chapter of the Bible. Nobody in this room. And so I encourage you to just decide that you're going to work on it. But let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I just pray that you would please just help everyone in this room to understand that with God all things are possible, and not to let people's man-made barriers and just people's ideas that things can't be done or that it's not for me. God, help everyone to realize that this is something that you would have them to do, to memorize the Bible, to learn the Bible, and to meditate on it day and night, Father. And please help everyone in this room to understand the joy of going through the day with Jesus Christ right there side by side with you, quoting the Bible throughout the day, with the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit right there through His Word. Father, please just help no one in this room to say, well, this isn't for me. And God, please just encourage the people in this room to just maybe start with something small, start with a few verses, and to learn the Bible and to memorize the Bible so that they could be in this thing for the long haul.